Ladies and gentlemen, it is a CONCACAF Nations League Finals week. Welcome to the 59th most listened to podcast in Costa Rica. This is the World of CONCACAF podcast. I'm Eric Schmitz.
I'm Jonathan Sleep.
And I'm Donald Wine.
And yes, we're very popular in Costa Rica. Guys, it is a CONCACAF Nations League Finals week. I am elated. I'm excited. We are all going. Everyone's got the enthusiasm for this, right?
Without a doubt. I mean, so this will be my first CONCACAF Nations League Finals. Unfortunately, it's being wasted on Dallas. So we can start there. But
I did want to ask Donald real quick, just to clarify, where is this being held?
This is being held at Jerry World in Arlington, Texas, which is in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. So if you say Dallas, you are totally correct because it's in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Also, Jack Warner sucks. So it doesn't matter where it's been played.
Yeah, you could say Arlington, you could say Dallas, you could say Dallas-Fort Worth, you could say the Metroplex, you could say Texas.
You could say Texas. That is an accurate statement, Eric. By the way, I'm happy too to be in this. I still have not missed a single Nations League game featuring the United States. I don't plan on doing that anytime soon. This is going to be for those of you who have not been to Jerry World, I think it is the best stadium from a game day atmosphere, not atmosphere, but a game day experience. It just, when you walk in, everyone's just like, wow, shit, this is awesome. And so I hope that those out there who are experiencing Jerry World for the first time get to have that same wonder when they walk in. It is a massive spaceship looking thing.
It is enormous.
So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. And it's funny, every time as we were trying to peer pressure people into going to, you know, the Dallas Fort Worth Metroplex for this event, I was like encouraging them and saying that everyone, like, look back at the two previous Nations League finals. What part of any of those games did not look like something you wanted to be at? Like, every single game in a CONCACAF Nations League Finals ever has been like pure uncut CONCACAF. Just
I don't know how this is going to top the first two, right? Like, the first final against Mexico, what was it? The Malice at Mile High is what they called it. Everything that happened in that game. I mean, everything from the play on the field to in the stands to the celebrations to the, you know, everything. Yeah. Then you had the Mexico game, USA Mexico, in the second one that was just sheer anarchy for long stretches of the
jerseys
game.
Jerseys are getting ripped off of
players. Jerseys getting ripped, multiple
people are
red
getting
cards.
Choked.
Yeah.
People getting choked and then retaliating, them getting red cards later on. One straight red, that was probably a straight red, but he, you know, the player, it was trying to defend himself, and that's what happened. And then now, so like, how do you get better than this? Like, what's going to happen? Are we just going to have, is it going to be like a hockey match or hockey game where everyone just drops gloves at the start of the opening kick? Like, because it's pretty much where we're at this point.
It's not off the table.
Just get out the way. Yeah,
it's not off the table. Like, after the first one, you're like, how could the second one in Las Vegas possibly be any better? And to be honest, it arguably lived up to the hype. So this one, it's got, you know, the bar is very high. And I feel confident about it. I'm very excited for Jonathan to experience this for the first time. We're going to have the whole crew down there.
I also feel like the game really has to live up because, like, the location is not, because let's be honest, Denver's really cool. Vegas, while not my jam, a lot of people enjoying. Like, there's just nothing about Dallas.
Dallas has barbecue, first of all. It will have the three of us. And I was just going to say, I think to start off the very first game, I think Greg Berhalter should start the checking unit. I think that's fair. because
put
if the
Hanson's
gonna,
out.
Ahead and, if we're going to have to do that, like, we have to intimidate him from the opening jump. Just put out the checking unit. We probably should have had Cameron Carter-Vickers in that because he's probably like the first person I would put on the line he's very intimidating when he's on the field. But yeah, this is gonna be fun. Jonathan's gonna learn to appreciate Dallas for some of the cool things. They got great tacos. They got great.
I mean, I've been there before. So like, this is not. Yeah. I'm going with
you. Well, haven't been there with us.
I'm going and we with get to well go to the derived.
We get to go to the Copa Play-In and there, yeah, there's you guys.
We do get to driving. Go to Pizza Hut Park.
Yeah,
always. Yeah, there's
a lot to get to. Let's talk about the soccer. We're all excited about this, but we definitely want to talk about the soccer, talk about the things you need to know before this crazy week in CONCACAF ahead. There's a lot going on outside, even not considering the Nation League finals. But before we get to it, I do want to say shout out to our patrons. Thank you for your support on our Patreon. You can subscribe, support the podcast at patreon.com/podcacaf. We really appreciate you supporting the pod, you know, covering our hosting fees, you know, things like that, letting us do all this content. We're going to have some fun stuff on there this week. As we said, all three of us are going to be down there. We're going to be hanging out, playing content coming your way. Thank you for your support. We appreciate you and we love you. All right. Speaking of things we love, CONCACAF Nations League, the finals, the third edition of CONCACAF Nations League concludes this week at AT&T Stadium. The finals, we've got two semifinals. The bracket works out like this. The first match is going to be the United States taking on Jamaica. The second semifinal is going to be Panama taking on Mexico. These teams qualified for the Nations League finals by advancing from the Nations League quarterfinals, which CONCACAF made up for this edition of the tournament. Panama getting the number one seed based on two wins over Costa Rica in the quarterfinals and a 6-1 aggregate score. The United States getting the second seed with a 4-2 aggregate win over Trinidad and Tobago. Jamaica getting the third seed, 4-4 aggregate tie with Canada, but they advanced on away goals. And then Mexico, surprisingly, getting the fourth seed, advancing over Honduras.
It can't be surprising at this point because they got the fourth seed in the last edition too. So it just seems like they're backing their way into this thing every single time.
Well, I mean, I guess it's surprising in the sense that I don't think anyone would have guessed Panama would get the number one overall seed, but I think it worked out because obviously CONCACAF traditionally wants the United States and Mexico to not play until the final. Didn't happen last Nations League, and Mexico had to play a third place game. Now, potentially it's there if Mexico can get by Panama. Panama obviously had a great Gold Cup, lost to Mexico in the final last year, but this is Nations League. In Nations League, there are all bets are off. The only thing you can rely on is that the U.S. has never lost the Nations League final.
Never lost.
And I think that's the main story is the U.S. And let's kind of talk about the things to look for here. Jonathan, what are the big storylines as far as the U.S. goes for this Nations League finals?
I think storylines for this Nations League tournament is there are a lot of them for the United States. I think, of course, there's, you know, this is the first competitive tournament for Greg Berhalter after his return post World Cup and all of those things. We have a lot of informed players coming into this tournament, like your guys like Christian Pulisic, guys who have just been for their national teams have been performing really well. And then we have what I think is something near and dear to all of our hearts here is Tyler Adams is making his return to the nation, to the national league, the national team after being out for quite a while due to injury. He's even said as recently as the other day that he feels he's ready to give 45 to 60 minutes on Thursday night. So I expect we will see him coming into this. And then, of course, after the lineups got announced, we did have a few changes. Josh Sargent and Luca Della Torre were out due to injury. Shame for both of those, especially Josh Sargent, who's been scoring a lot, but been replaced by Brendan Aaronson and Haji Wright, who was fresh off a stoppage time winner in the FA Cup to send them to the semis, to send them to Wembley. So I think it's, you know, just going in, I think there's a lot of confidence in this group coming into it. And I expect to see that play out on the pitch for the United States.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm very interested to see how this group kind of gets back together. I mean, Tyler Adams was the captain of this team and has not been in the squad for over
since
a year.
World Cup.
Since the World Cup. He's been dealt with injury. There was discussions while he was out as to when you have him, how do you handle the midfield? You've got Gio Reyna in the squad who knows how many minutes he can go for because he's not playing at Nottingham Forest right now. Weston McKennie is in great form right now. Yunus Musa is not starting regularly, but he's getting a lot of minutes in Milan. Obviously, you're missing De La Torre, but also Johnny Cardoso having a great season in Spain right now. So you've got a squad with all, and not even to mention the guys up top, like Ricardo Pepi on fire, Haji Wright on fire, Pulisic having a great season. Like attacking wise, there are a lot of guys who are in form that you don't necessarily always have. So I'm really interested to see how Greg Berhalter is going to handle the squad. Donald, I don't know if you have thoughts as to how you manage all of these guys with their ebbs and flows.
It's funny. I think when the roster came out, most of United States national team Twitter was kind of like, oh, a sensible roster.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. Like, as you mentioned, so many guys are in form. There's guys who were in form that were left at home, right? Haji Wright was originally left at home. He's now called in. Brandon Vasquez is just tearing it up for Monterrey since he's joined there. He's staying at home. Cade Cowell is scoring goals for Chivas. He's staying at home. So there's a lot of guys that are, you know, that he could have called in, but chose not to for various reasons, mainly because he only has 23 spots and there's going to be a lot of competition. I think this is the time where people are starting to understand that this roster, this player pool can be super good if they keep each other accountable, if they keep being competitive with their clubs. The one thing that we need is for a lot of these guys to get more playing time with their various club situations. But the guys who are getting on the field are showing nasty. I mean, like Ricardo Pepi just scored a game winner for PSV the other day, assisted by Malik Tillman. So like these guys are doing well. And I think what's exciting is to see all of that translate to the national team, hopefully on the field this week.
Yeah. The other interesting thing to note is that the US will be without Sergino Dest for the semifinal against Jamaica. Because if you can recall, brother punted the ball out of the stadium in Trinidad in November, cost them that game.
He blew kisses to the ref as well, then almost fought his teammates. There was a lot that happened in the course of like a minute.
The dumbest thing I've ever seen live in person, by far, running away.
Absolutely. But it also shows, you know, that, you know, he's back on the squad, despite the fact that he has to sit out the first game. That shows that is all water under the bridge, that they've kind of, whatever happened, they dealt with it. And they said, hey, this is something won't happen again. All his teammates are good with him. He's good with Greg. So it's not a thing where he was left off because of that. He's back in the squad. And should the, you know, for the second game, whichever it is, he'll be available to play.
Yeah. We did talk about this a little bit before we started recording, but I also do think that there is some pressure on Greg Berhalter to not blow this tournament. Like if they lose on Thursday, I think there could be some issues because, you know, there's this context that Berhalter might not be good enough to get them to where they need to be in 2026. If you can't win in CONCACAF, are you going to be able to do that? So if the U.S. doesn't win this again, as they should, they are the Nations League champions, two-time defending, back-to-back, never lost. But if they don't come away with a trophy and they go into Copa America, maybe the bar is a little bit higher for him to not be, you know, maybe the heat's on. Maybe not turned up, but the heat is on for him because this summer is, you know, that's when you're going to get your test to see, you know, what you got going into 2026.
I disagree that this is anything that is considered to be a litmus test for Greg Berhalter.
This is CONCACAF Nations League. This is the most prestigious tournament in global sporting competition.
That is correct. And I didn't stutter when I said what I said. I ain't changing because you mentioned the obvious. But the issue is I don't think this is a litmus test for him in the sense that he's going to feel any pressure to win, right? He wants to win. I've spoken with him. He wants this trophy bad. This would be for him. He wants this trophy because it's, again, as you mentioned, we've never lost it. He wants to hold on to it, but he recognizes that holding on to a trophy is way more difficult than going out and winning it. So he has to make sure that this team is ready to defend the soil, defend the trophy, defend the honor of the Nations League. But in the grand scheme of things, like if he loses this, ain't nobody going to fire him. It's not going to increase the pressure that he has for Copa America. That's already present. Everyone thinks that they should. At the same time, you have people saying that he should win Copa America to keep his job and then saying that they're not going to do it. Right. So that's pressure in itself. He doesn't need to add the mystique of Nations League to that pressure. That's separate things. But I will say that from Greg's perspective, he does want to win this. He is fired up for this. And I think that translates, if anything translates from Greg Berhalter to the team, it's that kind of fire and competitive spirit. These guys aren't coming out here thinking that this is some run in the mill tournament. They come out here wanting medals, wanting trophies, wanting to the confetti, and wanting to run around and act a fool with the trophy in their hand and drinking champagne and stuff out of it. And not throwing, and maybe in the process catch some guacamole in the process. But this is something that they're going to be ready for. The pressure is not something that they're dealing with here, because I don't think it's something that Greg has to worry about.
I mean, I'm not saying this is what's going to push them out the window. I'm not even saying this is what's going to open the window. I'm saying this would unlock the window. You know, this would be like the first kind of nudge, like, oh, maybe we need to really see how he does this summer, because I don't know, that element is out there. I'm just saying.
If you fire a coach, this is in every sport, the mantra is true. If you fire a coach, you better have somebody better than them ready to go. And if you fire, especially if you fire someone mid-season, mid-cycle, mid-whatever, you don't just fire someone and go, oh, now we're going to do a whole national search, which we saw how long that took, right? It took 6.5 months for them to land back on Greg. And so if you're going to do that, that's blowing again another year where you have a guy and then all of a sudden the season starts. So you're pulling some guy. If you're pulling some guy from Europe, they're not going to want to leave until the end of the club season. Then you have a situation like you had over on the women's side where you have a interim coach until that coach is ready to go. We don't have time for that. So I think this is the thing. If they want to make a change, they're going to make a change, but they're going to have some, this because they have somebody ready to go in the wings waiting for them to just immediately walk in and take over or to leave whatever job they're at to take over. I don't think that's the case, because I don't think they're searching for that. I think they think Greg's our guy. And so everyone just got to hand that, you know, we have this talk on social media all the time is, oh, we can just fire and get this coach in. Ain't nobody coming, because no coach is going to come in mid-cycle when they know that because the wind blows wrong and Twitter thinks they're terrible, that U.S. soccer is going to get rid of.
Yeah. Jonathan, you got anything to add there?
No, I agree with Donald. You're wrong, Eric. Let's move on.
Fine. Whatever. We'll stop talking about the U.S. Let's talk about Jamaica. So I think it's really interesting because Jamaica, we've talked about them recently as being on the up and up. You know, they've been assembling more talent. They've been assembling better kits. You know, they look good. There's a lot of reason to be hyped around Jamaica. Their coach sees this as an opportunity to, you know, win a championship. They got the U.S., they got an opportunity to knock them off in major competition on Thursday, but they're not necessarily going to have their best squad. So right now, Jamaica is missing two key players for Thursday, just out with cards from the last round. Damari Gray is out. Shamar Nicholson is going to be out. They're also missing Leon Bailey, who was left out of the squad for what was termed as a disciplinary issue. And they're also missing Ethan Pinnock and Amari Bell, who are hurt. They don't have their best squad, but this is an opportunity for them. Do you think this is real? Knowing that Jamaica's missing guys and they're not going to have their A squad against what really looks like a USA squad, are we going to learn anything from Jamaica on Thursday? Or is this kind of, we should see how this goes?
So one thing, so on the Leon Bailey thing, I have different, like I know that they said he's out for a disciplinary reason. I tend to think that they're probably just allowing Leon Bailey to continue to stay healthy. Aston Villa is, you know, deep in the Europa Conference League. They're, you know, trying to, you know, potentially get a Champions League spot. And I think for Jamaica, their most important things are they've already qualified for Copa America. And I think that's the important thing for them. But I think regardless, they're going to show up to play the U.S. hard. But I just don't necessarily think that, like, their biggest focus. I know the coach has said it's like to win a trophy, but I feel like they want to set themselves up to really thrive in Copa America versus Nations League. Because I think the other aspect to this as well is, you know, Jamaica's done a really good job of getting these dual national players to commit, and performing well in Copa America, I think, does a lot for them continuing to attract those guys. And so, because a lot of their old, like a lot of their dual nationals are starting to age out. And so, I mean, Mikel Antonio is just too busy doing podcasts these days.
Relatable. But,
yeah. But no, I think that their biggest focus isn't necessarily winning Nations League.
Yeah.
For me, I think Jamaica, you're right. They may feel like a little bit discombobulated as a whole. And that's true because their federation is going through some issues right now, especially on the women's side, you know, spats with their women's national team. And it's kind of carried over to some parts of the men's team. If you recall, there were some guys who were like, we're not coming in for these games because we need the federation to tighten up a little bit. So there's that. And because of that, I think Jamaica is not quite fully a cohesive unit at this point. Having said that, Jamaica always plays hard against the United States. They always have a couple of guys who can score some bangers. Again, we've seen Mikel Antonio score bangers for them. We've Damari Gray. They have some guys who could do it. The one thing that they're going to need to figure out is how to get past the defense, because if the United States is tight on defense, then there's not a lot of holes for Jamaica to crack through. But if Jamaica kind of stretch them out a little bit and make it where they're on their back heels kind of running and having guys having the track back, that is where maybe they can catch them flat footed. But it's going to be an interesting game because for a lot of reasons, Jamaica does match up quite well against the United States. They may just not have the horses to run with the United States.
Yeah. Oddly enough, these teams played each other in the same venue in the 2019 Gold Cup quarterfinals. That was a 1-0 result.
Matthew Happy.
Yeah. Men's national team legend. All right. So that's one semifinal. The other semifinal, the second part of the Thursday doubleheader, Mexico, Panama. Donald, obviously Panama coming in as number one seed. Mexico, you know, chip on their shoulder, never won a Nations League. What sticks out to you for this matchup?
On Mexico's side, I think it's the fact that they've kind of coasted into these last couple of Nations League finals. If you recall, last year they cruised in and they were fourth. This time they come in, they're fourth. And this, of course, the format was a little bit different this time around, where they only had to beat one team. But it felt like they could have done more, and maybe they're trying to save it all for this. And their coach, if you remember, took over after the Nations League last year because their coach got fired for getting smoked by the United States. And it, amongst other things. But I think this is an opportunity for him. He's won a Gold Cup. Now he wants to kind of lay stake to the claim that Mexico is back on top of CONCACAF. That's his motivation, and he's hoping that it trickles down to these players. On Panama's side, I think it's an interesting time for them because, as you mentioned, they're the top seed. They did very well in qualifying. And at the same time, they're kind of dealing with loss, right? That we'll talk a little bit about it maybe in one more round, but they're coming out with jerseys to kind of commemorate one of their fallen heroes, Luis Tejada. And that is probably something that they're going to be playing for. That's maybe the chip, so to speak, that's on their shoulder to try and do it for him because he was such a huge part of their program. It's going to be a battle in the sense that if Mexico shows up, they should win. But we've seen Mexico not show up in these things before. And we've seen them coast. Even in the very first one, if you remember, it didn't it go to extra time or maybe even penalties before they had were able to advance to the final. They really not have a have a knack for not taking this tournament seriously, and Panama can take you home and send you home because they will always take it seriously. So I'm intrigued by this matchup because I think that both teams have the tools to beat each other. It's just a matter of which one's going to show up. And if Mexico shows up, I think they have more talent. But Panama plays as a team always, home, road, neutral site, and they'll be on the road here because they're playing in Dallas. So I think this is going to be a fun one, but it's going to be ugly on the field. I think the play is going to be ugly. There's going to be a lot of fouls, a lot of spats. This is going to be the fireworks for this round.
I can't wait to see Anibal Godoy get into it with a couple of the Mexican midfield. Like my man, for you know, watching him lately as like how he's played Messi as of late, just talking so much trash and just getting under their skin. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if someone tries to choke Anibal Godoy. That's my bold prediction of the round, and I can't wait to see it in person.
Yeah, your fun fact of the day is Mexico has never scored a goal in the CONCACAF Nations League semifinals. You referenced that they had that extra time. They drew Costa Rica 0-0 and advanced on penalties in 2021, and then they got Trace Acero'd by the U.S. in Vegas. So Mexico yet to score a goal in this key round, which coincidentally enough, they're missing Raul Jimenez, who's out injured. So one of their top strikers is not playing. Panama, the only major injury that I noticed, Michael Murillo, who plays for Marseille, he's out injured. But yeah, for Panama, obviously Godoy is the veteran presence, the enforcer. But Coco Carrasquilla plays for Houston Dynamo, had that huge Gold Cup last year. Like, this is an opportunity for him to, you know, get a signature win and get them to a Nations League final, something that Panama, all these players have dreamed of, you know, their whole lives, is getting to a Nations League final. And it's right at their fingertips if they get a win against what will be a partisan crowd in Dallas, Fort Worth, Metroplex on Thursday night.
I'm also very interested to see Mexico if things do get very chippy without Hector Herrera on the field. Like, he's kind of always been the enforcer, B, the instigator of most of this. So I'm just interested to see from a Mexico perspective, if things do pop off, who are the guys that are A, causing it, and like who are the ones that are able to, like, you know, pull the team back together as well.
Yeah. So exciting things coming Thursday night. Again, U.S. Jamaica, that kicks off at 6 o'clock Central Time. I believe the estimated time for the Mexico Panama game is about 9:15 Central Time, and then the two winners will play Sunday, the final, and that which will be preceded by the third place match with the two losing teams. Because it's CONCACAF, I did notice that in the semifinals and the final, if it's tied after 90 minutes, it goes to extra time and then penalties. Just because it's Nations League, the third place game goes right to penalties after 90 minutes, because we don't need 30 more minutes of that, apparently.
Well, CONCACAF has always done that. If you remember the one time they did a third place game in the Gold Cup game, that funeral game back in 2015, they did exactly that.
But it wasn't in the same, it wasn't like a doubleheader where it was like in the same place at time.
No, but they're like, nobody wants to see this game, much less 30 more minutes of it.
What are we doing here? Speaking of what are we doing here, I guess it's kind of tied in with the Nations League, but Copa America, there's still two spots up for grabs. And what CONCACAF decided was, your eight quarterfinals, the four that advance to the finals, they're all qualified for Copa America, and everybody else has to play to the death for it. So on Saturday, we've got the Copa America qualifying playoffs, which are going to be one-game playoffs to advance to this summer's tournament. And as we mentioned, the Nations League finals seeded by performance in the quarterfinals, naturally the Copa America playoffs seeded by CONCACAF ranking, because why would you do things consistently? So, Jonathan, what are the two matchups for the two bids up for grabs?
So the two bids up for the grabs on Saturday, March 23rd are Canada v. Trinidad and Tobago, and then followed by Costa Rica against Honduras. Both are taking place at Pizza Hut Park in Frisco, Texas. I will not refer to it as any other words. But yeah, no, what's everybody's thoughts heading into these matches? We will be there in attendance in the all-you-can-eat and drink section. I am hoping to also, I'm hoping they're also serving Canadian tears. And that's something that I'm able to get.
It
like
doesn't
a
mix
big,
well with
tall,
alcohol.
You know, I can salt my pretzel. What's everybody's thoughts heading into these two games?
I mean, first, I'm just excited for some CONCACAF nonsense, because you know these games aren't going to be normal. It seems like it's going to be a hype crowd. Like, the games are basically sold out. It looks like they did release some seats this week, but like resale, get in. It's like $200 to get in for these games. I think all the pressure right now is on Canada. Like, you're hosting the World Cup. You're in 2026. Like, you don't get into Copa America, all you got to do is beat Trinidad in a neutral site game. I don't know, man. It's kind of rough. They've got most of their A squad. They've got some young players. They kind of let some of the older generation, some of the old guard, didn't get called in for this. But I think, yeah, the pressure's all on Canada to get it done here. Don, what do you think?
Canada obviously has the most pressure. If they don't win this game, then unfortunately, their federation is going to have to add to their list of problems by figuring this one out. I mean, they have a buttload of problems, and they do not need to add this one to the list of what are they going to do all summer. Because if you remember, they had a bye to the quarterfinals, and they could barely schedule matches last fall. They were having trouble doing that because the federation just wasn't giving them the money and the resources to go out and play. And now if they lose, what are they going to do? They're not going to be able to schedule anything of any substance in June. So they're going to have to really, pull together and do this. I think Costa Rica also has a little bit of pressure. They're a team that views themselves as one of the top teams in the region outside of Mexico and the United States. They have to show that by beating Honduras, who is obviously no slouch. We've been there, and that rivalry is very, very big. But if Costa Rica doesn't win that, I think there starts to be a little bit more pressure in their federation to say, hey, what's going on here, and how do we get out of this? Because Copa America would be a big opportunity for them, and they need to take advantage of it by winning this game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to see how Trinidad plays it. Are they going to bunker and try to get like a shock result, or are they actually going to try to come out and play? Like, Angus Eve has gotten a lot of good results lately. Like, they weren't expecting him to stick around with that squad, and they don't necessarily have a lot of top end talent. Canada has top end talent. Like, Jonathan David, he's going to be there. Alfonso Davies, he's going to be there. Ishmael Kone, like, he's having a great year with Watford. Like, Canada has guys. Trinidad doesn't right now, but that's why they play the game.
Their best roster addition is not bringing Milan Borjan. That's why you know that they're serious.
Yeah. You can sit at home wearing sweatpants, watching this on TV. But I am also really excited that Costa Rica-Honduras game, that's going to be chippy. It's going to be testy. I mean, it between the like the crowd, I don't – Donald, were you at that Gold Cup match in Cincinnati this past summer?
No, I was at the women's send-off the same day.
Okay.
You mean the one that went to penalties?
Yes. It was U.S., Canada, and Jamaica, and somebody else. But, like, it was a very mixed partisan crowd. Like, there were solid groups of fans of each team. So, like, you were definitely getting, like, the, neutrals from game to game. We're kind of, like, picking a side. I really think it's, the atmosphere is going to be great at the former Pizza Hut Park. I like to refer to it as the site of the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame. But yeah, I think it's really exciting to have something like this where there's going to be so much on the line. And yeah, it's nice. I mean, we've done these Nations League finals before, like having the 2 days in between in the city to chill out. It's been cool. But like, I'm almost just as excited for Saturday as I am for Thursday and Sunday.
The downside is we got to add those footballogy check-ins.
Oh yeah, we're getting our check-ins, but the only downside is we have to truck our ass from Arlington all the way up to Frisco for it. But such is life.
Ford a couple rivers, avoid dysentery.
Yes. Well, it's Texas. Everything is super far apart for some reason. All right. So we went over the Nations League finals, which includes this Copa America playoff. It's not – CONCACAF's got so much going on. Donald, I don't know if – can you remind us, does World Cup qualifying start this window?
Well, at least for CONCACAF it does. CONCACAF is getting back into the game with World Cup qualifying, and there's two – it's the first round, so there's four teams. The bottom four teams in CONCACAF are the ones that are – starting this whole bad boy out. You have Anguilla taking on Turks and Caicos, and then you have the Battle of the Virgin Islands, the U.S. Virgin Islands versus the British Virgin Islands. Those two teams, or those two matchups, are going to be two-legged affairs. So on March 22nd, Anguilla will face Turks and Caicos at home, while the U.S. Virgin Islands will also host the British Virgin Islands. And then on the 26th, they flip-flop. So Turks and Caicos will be at home against Anguilla. BVI will be at home against the U.S. Virgin Islands. So I'm looking forward to watching these. Again, these are going to be on Paramount Plus. So if this is the point in your cycle where you're like, yo, I got to renew, go ahead and do that. This is the time to do it, because you'll have that. You'll also have Nations League as well in this. But I'm really looking forward to these because, one, these involve islands. We yes. on this podcast love islands. Two, it involves one of our favorite islands that none of us have ever been to, but would love to be there in Anguilla. I think I might bring my Anguilla jersey to the Copa play-in just to, you know, just to show some love. Who knows? But I think also we'll have a – I know we're going to have a friend that's going to go to one of these games. I know our buddy Ray is going to travel to – I think to both of them, actually, to both matchups, which will be pretty fun. So this is going to be the start of a long process for everyone outside of the United States, Mexico, and Canada. And hope, you know, best of luck to everybody, because I'd love to see. It'd be great to have Anguilla make a World Cup. Don't think it's going to happen, but would love to see one of these teams really improve as they move along.
I would like to see Anguilla score a goal, because, you know, Goals are hard to come by for them. But I should note that, like, of these four teams, their combined FIFA ranking is 830. Like, this is literally 206
big number
versus 209 and 207 versus 208. Like, these guys are at the bottom of the barrel worldwide, but they are the top of the list when it comes to, like, what makes CONCACAF great. We've got a Virgin Islands derby. The thing that really sticks out to me, and it's something that we had a lot of issues with teams not being able to host games last cycle. Like, there were a lot of neutral site qualifiers. All these teams getting a home game. You know, it sucks the way the format is, where two teams are going to be knocked out super early, but everyone's getting one home game. So everyone's getting a chance in front of their home crowd to play a World Cup match. Because this is the start of the World Cup, you know? And these teams will move on to the next round, which will start in June. The two teams that advance, and I'm really excited about it. It's just you almost wish Nations League kind of had, like, this window to itself, but you've got Nations League, you've got World Cup qualifying. There's also a lot of other fun matchups going on, like, teams are playing friendlies. Just to call out a few, Puerto Rico is playing matches against Belize. St. Kitts and Nevis has two matches against San Marino. So literally the worst team in the world is playing St. Kitts and Nevis, So go CONCACAF there. Guyana and Bermuda are the two CONCACAF nations participating in the FIFA series, which is over. Their matches are going to be over in Saudi Arabia. They're going to be playing random ass teams from elsewhere in the world in friendlies. Really appreciate that. And then Bonaire is actually coming to the U.S. for like the first time ever. They're playing a friendly against El Salvador in D.C. So a lot of fun stuff going on. Before we wrap up, I think we got to get some predictions. So why don't we run through these major things and just call out, like, who you got here? So first off, CONCACAF Nations League. Who's taking home the trophy? Jonathan, we'll start with you.
The United States.
Would you like to elaborate, or is it just simple?
I mean, there's not much to elaborate there. Like, that's okay. Just what's going to happen.
All right. Donald, anything?
U.S., I think the Mexico-Panama game is the game of the tournament, but I think in the end, the U.S. takes it.
Yes, I agree. The U.S. has never lost. I feel like we will be able to say the same thing a week from now. So looking forward to another glorious conclusion of the greatest competition on the planet. Copa America qualifiers. Two teams are heading to the tournament this summer. Donald, who you got?
So I have Canada beating Trinidad and Tobago. I have them beating them 3-0. And then Costa Rica, I have edging past Honduras 4-3 on penalties.
Oh. See, you think there's going to be some chaos up in Frisco.
Chaos. Well, no, the score after extra time would be 1-1, but they would win penalties 4-3.
Penalties is chaos, though.
It is.
Jonathan, what do you got?
I got Canada getting knocked out. I got to keep my brand up. and then I have Honduras knocking out Costa Rica as well. I had it also knocked down as a game that would go to penalties.
Interesting. Now I'm gonna keep it shuffled. I got Canada taking care of business against Trinidad. I just think they've got too much top end talent. You know, Alphonso Davies is gonna get it done. Jonathan David will bang in a goal. But I do think Honduras. I feel like Costa Rica, it's just been a tough few years. That it's a changing of the guard, but they play the games for a reason. I got Honduras getting through and qualifying for Copa America. And then finally, World Cup qualifying. Two teams will advance to the second round of World Cup qualifying. I'm, as much as I want to pick Anguilla, I think I expect the Turks and Caicos to advance there. And then I'm going to stick with the U.S. Virgin Islands getting the shock defeat over the British Virgin Islands. Jonathan, who do you got?
I'm gonna go with my heart and say Anguilla not only scores a goal but advances to the next round, and then I get the U.S. Virgin Islands making it through.
Donald,
my heart says Anguilla scores a goal. My brain says Turks and Caicos score 7 of them. So Turks and Caicos 7-1 aggregate, and then in the Battle of the Virgin Islands, go USVI. But I do think 6-2. BVI, British Virgin Islands advances on aggregate.
All right. Got a very diverse opinions. So we'll see how that pans out. Like we said, we're going to Texas for the Nations League Finals for Copa America Playoff. We're going to have a lot of content coming your way. Make sure you subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/podcacaf, where you will be able to hear the one more round we're about to record. To talk about the new kits that have been dropping. And you know we love talking about jerseys. So you can hear that on our Patreon. Go there, patreon.com/podcast. Throw us a buck a month. You know, just support the pod. Support the brand. We appreciate you. Follow us on social media at podcacaf, P-O-D-C-A-C-A-F. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. No TikTok, but... you know, maybe. Donald, where can people find you?
At BlazingDW on Twitter and StarsandStripesFC.com.
Jonathan?
And you can find me at JSSP and then at BroadwaySportsMedia.com.
Okay. And you can find me at AT&T Stadium Thursday and Sunday in my glory, because CONCACAF Nations League is the greatest competition in sports on the planet in the history of mankind. And we are excited for the conclusion of the third edition. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the CONCACAF this weekend. A lot of great soccer. And thanks for listening.